I was just mentioning that. So pray for the Dunbars. They're well up in years. I hope when I'm 95, I'm still in as good shape as he is. But then again, I hope the rapture comes before then anyway. All right, we are in Jeremiah this morning. Dangerous thing to say. I hope to actually make this fairly short. I'm not even sure why I say that. Because maybe one day it'll happen, I guess. All right, Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah 24. I'm going to be in Jeremiah all morning this morning. If you'll just keep your Bible open, there's just a little bit of back and forth, but not a lot. Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24, 1. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that were first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good. The evil, very evil. That cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. I will send the sword and famine and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we come here to some wonderful promises for one group. There's also some terrible promises for another. Maybe at first reading, one would not know quite how to manage to deal with this. I pray that you might give us insight here this morning. Father, we love you, we need you, and we ask that you would give us a light. I pray that somebody here that may not be saved would see their need for a Savior, a need for a way to get rid of their sins. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jeremiah is one of the prophets to Israel. He prophesies here of the Lord's continuing controversy with Israel, as well as some things that portend the future, which is what a prophet does, by the way. To get a little bit settled, if you will just let your eye rove down through Jeremiah 23, that entire chapter, the chapter previous to this, is about false prophets and the lies they tell and those things. In fact, in verse 14, 23:14, he says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. There aren't that many things in the Bible that are said to be horrible. This is one of them. He says, they commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. These are the false prophets. And so those things are terrible things. Another thing in connection with the passage that's important, if you would take note of chapter 25. Go down to verse 11, where the Lord ties in a couple of things together. He says, And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. It shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolations. I wanted you to see one more along this line. Chapter 29. Chapter 29 and verse 10. I wanted you to see that tied into this was 70 years. Verse 10 of chapter 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word unto you in causing you to return to this place. Now, you can go back to chapter 24 and let it rest there for a second. Daniel actually learned in Daniel chapter 9 that there was a 70-year captivity of Judah in Babylon, and he learned it from Jeremiah by studying the book of Jeremiah, those passages we just read. And obviously those 70 years relate to the Babylonian captivity. It's a plain historical fact and those sort of things. Connected with that 70 years is also the chapter that we read in chapter 24. It's connected in with the two sets of figs, okay? And in fact, if you'll just flip over to Jeremiah 29 once again, the passage that we just read, regarding 70 years, notice down in verse 17, he said, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. So connected with this 70 years of captivity in Babylon, Israel is going to get carried away, Jerusalem carried away for 70 years. There's this prophecy that comes out connecting the figs, good figs and evil figs, with the captivity. Those figs are described as two types. They're good figs. In fact, some of them are very good figs in Jeremiah 24. Then there are bad figs. And the figs are described as evil. They're described as very evil. They're described as naughty. They're described as so evil they can't be eaten. And they're also described as vile. Now, I don't know if you like strawberries, I really do, and you may have ever, you know, opened up a strawberry container and seen a big old fat, really rich red one down at the bottom, and you say, boy, that one's gonna taste good. Reach in there and get it, pull it up, and just before you pop it in your mouth, you see it's covered with blue-green fuzz. Well, yuck, right? That's an evil strawberry. It's too evil to eat. And so you've probably been there. Well, both what I wanted you to see, and you'll be reminded throughout the sermon, what I wanted you to see was that both of these figs, the good figs, the very good, and the evil figs, the very evil, they're both carried off into captivity. Now look, we're talking captivity here, okay? We're talking about somebody having had their lives destroyed, all their belongings, all their materials, all their material, their physical possessions, their families probably in most cases torn apart. They probably have seen atrocities once the besiegers have come into Jerusalem. There's no telling what they all saw. You can go read the book of Lamentations and get an idea of what might have happened there. But a lot of the, in fact, I'm almost certain from what the Bible says, of Daniel and, for instance, the three Hebrew children that went out with him, that many of the boys were neutered or made eunuchs by those Babylonians. So we're talking about people here that go through a really terrible, a horrible thing. They have seen horrible things. They're marched off into captivity, many of them naked and mostly ashamed and so on. It's not a pleasant thing, but I wanted you to see that both those categories of figs were people that went off to captivity. The second thing I would take note of is just how differently the Lord deals with those two sets of people. If you paid attention towards the end of Jeremiah 24, you saw on one hand the good figs had some wonderful promises to their benefit, and that as far as the evil figs are concerned, you know, it's just hell on wheels all the way through. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of good figs and evil, okay? And just two or three simple observations, and hopefully I took note of this. There are some things that happen this week in our nation, and it got me thinking about some stuff. And often we get talking as fellow Christians. We wonder where things are headed and how things are going to look, say, in 10 years or 20 years or 5 years. Many of you know, some of you aren't old enough, I suppose, to get it yet. But those of us that saw the turn of the millennium, those of us that saw 2000 and 2001 come, brethren, there are lots of things that have changed in our country since 2001. And I know it sounds like some old codger going, yeah, back in the good old days. It's not like that. If you're 25 years old or more, you have seen major changes in our country. And so I wanted to tie some of that in, but let me talk to you this morning about good figs and evil. And what I'd like you to see, first of all, is something very simple. These figs are obviously the captivity that goes off of the nation of Israel and Jerusalem and Judah into captivity in Babylon. I'd like to say, first of all, they didn't get to choose their judgment. That is, they didn't get to choose their captivity. They didn't get to choose how they were to be judged. They didn't get to choose when they were going to be judged. They didn't get to choose where they were going to be judged. They didn't get to choose those things. They knew that judgment was coming, or else they should have. They had been forewarned through a lot of their history that the Lord had risen up and sent prophets to warn them of things to them. Get away from the idols. Get away from the heathen. Quit worshiping me on every high hill and under every green tree. And they had seen the cycle of judgments and judges all the way through the book of Judges. The Lord would raise up a judge and deliver Israel. Then they would enjoy their time down, and they would go back to idolatry, just cycled over and over again. And the heathen would rise back up and invade them, and there would be all sorts of issues and problems. They had wars. God continually prophesied against their idols, against their false gods. Finally, in time, Judah and Jerusalem saw, years before their own captivity, they had a chance to see God allow the Assyrians to carry away the 10 northern tribes into Assyria. And they still continued to do wrong. And so finally there came a day that Nebuchadnezzar shows up, and it wasn't a matter of one day or one year. There was a whole sequence of things. But the bottom line, there came a day that, Israel had no latitude. They'd been painted into a corner. There was nowhere to turn. There was nothing to do. There was no remedy. And Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem, besieged it, and in time breached the walls. And in time, all of Israel was marched out of the land, many of them more than half naked and ashamed and humiliated, off into captivity in the nation of the Chaldeans, of Babylon. And so the day finally came. Important, very important thing to say here. Once again, I just want you to take note carefully. The good figs were marched out of town, just like the evil figs. Okay? It's important that you see that. I want you to just take note along that line, because even the good figs did not get to choose their punishment. They did not get to choose their judgment. They did not get a chance to choose what would happen, when it would happen, where they would go, how long they would stay, those sort of things. That was a lot for the good figs as well as the bad figs. Well, that relates to a lot of things that we go through. First of all, personally. I mean, folks, we suffer. The truth is, Christians suffer some of the same things that lost people suffer. Cancer and kidney problems and, diseases many times make no distinction between saved people and lost, or between good men and bad men. I know some awfully good men and good women that have fallen to really terrible diseases and such things as that. But, family problems don't always draw the line at good men and bad men, or saved men and lost men. It's just not that way. Sometimes very good men, sometimes very good Christians, sometimes the good figs, children, are prodigal and never come back. I'm just saying that to say that it's important when you start considering the personal trials and troubles and the things the Lord asks us to go through in this life, it's important for you to understand that sometimes, in fact many times, the good figs march off into the same captivity as the evil figs. We'll tie some of that together a little bit later, but we don't get to choose. Now, it goes, besides personal problems, there's a broader aspect to it. For instance, this is the captivity. Both the good figs, the good men, and the good Jews, the men of God, as well as the rascals and the idolaters, they all got marched off into the same captivity. It had happened before. Think about the fact that when Israel comes up to Kadesh Barnea out of the wilderness, 12 spies were sent into the land. 10 were bad, as you know, the little song says, and 2 were good. And man, the 10 came back and said, oh no, we cannot go into that land. And the majority of the people of Israel believed the 10 spies. And though Joshua and Caleb said, oh man, it's a great land. We can go right now and take it. Fact of the matter is, Israel chose to listen to the 10 instead of the 2. And so it was, the Lord said, okay, you can go back to the wilderness for 40 years. I'm going to drop every one of your carcasses in that wilderness. And the important thing about that is that Joshua and Caleb, though they had chosen right and wanted to do right, had to go back to the wilderness with the rest of Israel. Now, I say that to say this. You don't get to choose sometimes your trials. You don't get to choose your troubles. You don't get to choose your sicknesses. In this case, you don't get to choose your captivity. Most of you know, I'm sure, that the Supreme Court made a very unwise decision this last week. And 5 justices decided over 4 that legalized sodomy was constitutional. It was interesting to me that one of those justices who dissented from the majority said, what I hate about this decision is that we now have 9 lawyers that are running the country. And it's true. It's true. You now have an executive branch that's out of control. Plainly, you have a judicial branch that's out of control. Half of Congress is out of control, and the other half are cowards. So, all of the checks and balances of our system, and this is not just about America, but I say all that to say, the ramifications of what those men and women decided this last week have yet to be seen. It's going to be widespread morally and spiritually. It is an atrocity. It is an abomination. I'm not afraid to say it. It just is. And the worst part is, a lot of us were dragged down with the rest of this country. And in fact, some of the country that was all for it, I suppose, were very liberal Christians. I don't want to walk with them. I don't want to go off to captivity with them. And when God decides to judge the land, I don't want to be a part of it, but I will be, because I don't get to choose my captivity. Just as the good figs had to march off to Babylon with the bad figs, so it is that those justices decided that I, as an American, will very likely face at least some of the judgment of God on our country, along with the folks that are rascals and wicked. I'm not a sodomite, but they are, and when the God judges the sodomites, I might well get burned by some of the brimstone. That goes beyond that, because the fact of the matter is, it also applies to our nation's belligerent stance against Israel. And so when the Lord decides to judge this nation on its recent treatment of Israel, I'm not for it. And I don't agree with them. But the good figs march off with the bad. I wasn't part of a system that decided to kick God out of public life. But it's been in place now for all these years. And I'm saying, you know, without trying to be melodramatic, that America has now crossed the line where we have fulfilled almost entirely what God had against the Amorites when He judged them and wiped them clean. Idolaters, false gods, sodomy, right on down the line. And it's not what I wanted. It's not what I voted for. Nobody asked me my opinion on how a judge should vote on the Supreme Court this last week. But unfortunately, I get to march off with the rest of the country to judgment. And so do you. And I happen to know that most of you agree with me. So, say, well, okay, Brother Stephen, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying the good figs, as well as the bad, didn't get a chance to choose the time or the place or the type of their captivity, of their judgment, and of their trials. And I'll just say, a lot of times, you know, lost guys, lost women, think that they will one day have an experience on a deathbed where they'll get a chance, their final chance to come to Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to say, you don't know what kind of shape you're going to be on your deathbed. You may be in a coma. You may be unconscious. You may not have a chance to make a decision. At the same time, it applies to Christians who thought that the trials would come differently than they did. You don't get to choose how they come. You don't get to choose how they go. You don't get to choose their timing. You don't get to choose the when, where, and how. And once again, to just point out, the really good, the really excellent men and women, the figs, the good figs, they marched off to captivity with the bad figs. So that brings me to my second point. And the second point is that their judgment separated the figs, good from bad. Now, just think about the fact that some of God's choicest servants went off with that captivity. Jeremiah lived at that time. While he never, I don't think, went to Babylon itself, he prophesied all during that time. In fact, he was kidnapped and taken to Egypt at one point. But Haggai and Zechariah were prophets that prophesied from the captivity. They marched off to captivity too. As far as I know, they marched off with their backsides bare and half naked themselves, just like everybody else. Daniel and his three buddies, the three Hebrew children, like I said, from what the book of Chronicles says, I believe that those boys were made eunuchs before they were hauled off to the palace. That's a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing. These guys got to view the raising, R-A-Z-I-N-G, the raising of the temple. They got to see the raising of Jerusalem. They saw the results when the besiegers finally breached the wall and came on in. And who knows what exact atrocities they saw, but they're all kind of things that you can imagine. And when you go read the book of Lamentations, you see that it is indeed a horrible, terrible thing that happened. And yet, these good figs, these choicest of God's servants, when they went off, I call your attention to Jeremiah chapter 24, and notice verse 5, where he addresses the good figs, remembering that the good figs marched off into the same captivity as the evil figs. He says in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for their good." Now, when we read this next couple of verses, folks, I will draw to your attention that these good figs marched off in the same captivity as the evil figs into a terrible place under terrible conditions. But they were not forsaken. Can you see that? They were not forsaken. Verse 5, "So will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans." For what? For their good. That sounds strikingly like Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Yeah? Look at verse 6, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good. I will bring them again into this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me. In the land of their captivity, these good figs, I'm going to do a work in their hearts, and they're going to come out of this knowing me. Now, these are the same people that marched off with the bad figs. But it's not all bad. Can you see that? Can you see that the good figs come out of this actually pretty good? They come out better than they went in. Man, folks, Haggai and Zechariah and those guys prophesied and did right in their captivity. Mordecai rose up in his captivity. Those four Hebrew children rose up in the Babylonian palace in the midst of their captivity, probably having been made eunuchs, and who knows what else the atrocities that they may have witnessed on their way out of Jerusalem and out to Babylon. Look down in verse 7 one more time and just take note that the way this ends, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. The good figs march off to the same captivity as the evil figs, and they have a chance to come out of it revived. Now, keep your finger there, but turn to Jeremiah 29 real quick, and I'll show you the same thing there. Look, it just struck me. It just struck me as, especially in light of what happened with the Supreme Court this last week, which on a spiritual plane and a moral plane is absolutely abominable. God hates that. He hates it. And for somebody that loves and fears God, we have to fear for this country. I mean, we have to say, if this country was never on the train tracks before, oh my goodness, it's on the train tracks. I don't know when, I don't know where, and I don't know how. I'm telling you right now, God hates that stuff. And God will judge that stuff. Now that said, we didn't ask for it. We would have voted the other way. Right? I did vote the other way as far as my vote was concerned, but they didn't listen. So now I get to go down this path with the rest of my fellow Americans, whether they're good figs or bad figs. Right? Look in Jeremiah 29. Let me continue this. Look in verse 10. And notice, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, so he's acknowledging this captivity, be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. That's a positive thing. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again to the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. That's a good thing for the good figs. Can you see that? But, oh, I just wanted you to see the disparity between the lot of the good figs. Now, these people marched off in the same column. You understand? These people marched off into the same captivity, and they suffered the same overall judgments, but all the difference in their two lots. For instance, go back to Jeremiah 24, and this time we go down to verse 8, where the Lord now addresses the evil figs, the naughty figs, the vile figs. And he says in verse 8, and as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt. Not for their good, like in verse 5, but for their hurt. to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land I will give unto them, that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Look once again in Jeremiah 29. In Jeremiah 29, verse 17, again he addresses the bad figs. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 17, Behold, I will send upon them the sword and the famine and the pestilence. I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence. You ever think about starving to death? Ever think about not having water to drink? Ever think about widespread disease? We Americans have almost forgotten about widespread disease. Oh, the flu bug goes around. But I mean, I'm talking about plagues, bubonic plagues, black plagues, where 20 and 30% of the population die. And if not by that, by famine or by thirst. We just don't think about it too much anymore because it's been so long since anything like that happened here. You think the Lord still can't do it? Go read the book of Revelation and you think the Lord still won't do it? Because He's gonna. Now, verse 18 still, Jeremiah 29, 18. I will persecute them with the sword, with famine, pestilence. I will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth to be a curse, an astonishment and an hissing, a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. I wanted you to see the contrast. I wanted you to be able to compare on one hand the good figs, the very good figs. They marched off into the same captivity as the very bad figs. But oh, the contrast in their lots, even in captivity. And I just wanted you to see that, you know, that's been the case, folks, through lots of time. When Christianity was born into this world, they came under the Roman persecutions. And out of the Roman persecutions and out of the Dark Ages arose the Montanists and the Novatians and the Paulicans and the Waldensians and the Albigenses. They're our forebears. They were the Bible believers that withstood the Pope and the kings, and the rest went to Catholicism and Anglicanism. You understand? What a difference in those lots. What a difference in the lives of some people that you know. When placed under trial, they either collapsed under the weight and refused to go on, proved themselves to be bad figs. And yet some, you're amazed by what they've come through and the kind of spirit they still have. Think about those things. Think about the fact this applies to your trouble, but it also applies to our day and age. It applies to all the ramifications of a Muslim invasion in our land that's changing the landscape of our entire culture, everything we know, everything we understand, and what we can say and can't say. It applies to a legalized tide of sodomy that is now, because of the court says so, supposed to be a respectable, constitutional thing, when actually it's an abomination before God. It applies to all those things. It applies to God being kicked out of public life. God by name kicked out of public life. You can't even pray in some places in public without getting in trouble. Somebody at the parade yesterday handed a flyer back to one of our folks and said something to the effect of, you guys are going to have to quit using this hate speech, says the court, or something to that effect. People are weird. And I just want to say, I want to call your attention to the fact that these guys all marched off into the same captivity. And yet, the end of them was so different. The good figs came out knowing God. The good figs came out with all these precious promises in their behalf. They lived through something far worse than we're likely to live through, no matter what a court does or no matter what Congress does. But the evil figs were just made worse and worse and worse. Now, let me ask you a question. With that stated, and my conclusions will be fairly quick, What was the difference between the two figs? What's the difference between the good figs and the bad figs? What constitutes whether these figs are very good? And some of those figs were Daniel and the other three Hebrew children. Haggai, Zechariah, Mordecai. I mean, those guys all were in the captivity. Very good figs. Meanwhile, you have the vile figs. Meanwhile, you have the folks that were happy enough just to go off into captivity, amalgamate themselves with the heathen Babylonians, and just worship their gods and just give up on God altogether. What's the difference? Well, I got a couple of hints. I'll take you back to Jeremiah 24 real fast. And there's an answer here that may be obvious, but it has its roots somewhere else. In chapter 24, verse 7, in the prophecy about the good figs, where the Lord said, I'm going to take you into Babylon, and I'm going to do some stuff to you for your good. And he says among the things that's going to happen in verse 7, I will give them an heart to know me. Now imagine going off into captivity. Imagine going off into judgment. Having seen the atrocities that you've seen, having probably seen mother, father, sister, brother killed, perhaps mothers and sisters raped, who knows what. Perhaps yourself having been made a eunuch in a very crude surgical procedure before hauling you off to Babylon. Imagine then seeing where the Lord says, I will give you a heart to know me. Now, what's the basis of that heart? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't just wind up with a good heart. I'm sorry, you don't. You just don't. So what's the basis of it? Back to Jeremiah. Back to Jeremiah chapter 29. It comes down to something very simple. It comes back to something that you know very well. The difference between these two figs, these two categories of figs. Notice verse 17 where he talks about the vile figs. Verse 18 talks about their persecutions, their famines, the things they're going to have to go through. Verse 19 tells you why. Because they have not hearkened to my words. I just want to say, the difference between the good figs and the bad figs had to do with their relationship with the Word of God. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. It's my relationship with the Word of God that matters. I don't care what Congress does. I don't care what laws are enacted. What matters is my relationship with the Word of God. And if my relationship with the Word of God is right, the promises and the power of God comes to me that way. These good figs were marked by the fact they did what God said before the captivity and after. If you've done right to this point, you're just called to keep doing right from here on out. That's all it is. It boils down. The separation between the two categories has to do with your relationship with the Word of God. If you'll go back to Jeremiah 23, I'm about done having you turn, but I'm not going to give up yet. In chapter 23, that entire passage is about false prophets lying and deceiving people to do things that are wrong, trying to deceive people and saying that, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, but what they said was not God's word at all, and God held them responsible for it. Look down verse 16, how the Lord continually turns the people's minds and hearts back to the words of the living God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 16, 23:16. Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, talking about the false prophets. Verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, who hath perceived and heard His word, who hath marked His word and heard it? You take time to mark the Word of God? Man, my Bible is covered up with ink marks and colored pencils and highlighters and stuff. You take time to mark it because you want to remember something that's there. Look down in verse 22. And if they had stood in my counsel, I'd caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them away from their evil way. from the evil of their doings. Look in verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, that is, the false prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. It keeps being turned back. The whole issue is the word of God. He said the reason those guys went off and they're going to be cursed, they're going to be a taunt among the nations, is because they refused to do my words. It all revolves around your relationship with the word of God. Look, if you're lost, I'm going to tell you this right now. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He died for your sins and rose again the third day, went back to heaven, and then left us His words, the Word of God. These words are right. Whether you acknowledge it or not, everything comes to pass according to these words. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. Okay? And I just want to say, the first step in anything is getting saved and having a relationship with the capital W, Word of God. And after you know Jesus Christ, everything revolves around your relationship with this book. Right there, this book. If you don't agree with it, you're wrong. You always have been wrong. And God has always been right. And in so many things that folks have concluded through the years that God was had to be wrong about, turns out it wasn't true. There is no book that prophesies like this book. There is no book that foretells a future that we now see as the past, and it all came to pass. That's why we can have confidence in it for tomorrow, because we know what came to pass yesterday. My point is, the good figs, the men of God, the good men, the good women, the mothers and fathers that love God, they got carried away into the same captivity as the bad figs. And what separated the two categories was a relationship with the Word of God. And all you got to do is go through Jeremiah sometime. Just take a colored pencil, blue, green, purple, I don't care. And every time you read the word, word, or the word, words, color it in. And then flip through and see how many times Jeremiah returns the people to the issue of the Word of God. The people in captivity to the Word of God. If this country becomes a sodomite haven, I still have the Bible. And I still have Jesus Christ. If it becomes illegal somehow to speak God or Jesus Christ's name in public, I still have the Word of God. And so do you. And you still have the promises, and you still have the power that comes from a quickened word. Stay by the book. Somebody said one time, back to the Bible, or back to the jungle. Look where we are. It's worse than the jungle in some cases. But what matters is the Word of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You this morning for enduring eternal thing that we have before us here. You've made promises about this book that no other God or religious writer ever made about any other set of writings. You've assured us it's Your Word. You've assured us that You are not a liar. You've assured us that You will back up everything that's said in it. You have proven Yourself altogether so far. We have no reason to doubt for a moment that every single word of God is true. I pray, Lord, that as we watch things fold up around us and crumble as far as moral supports and spiritual pillars, I pray, Lord, that You might help us to turn all the more into Thee and remember that the one solitary thing that we have to lay our hands on that we know is true and that we know is right is the old book. We're so grateful for our Lord Jesus Christ, a Savior that abides faithful. And we know that He ever liveth to make intercession for us sinners. He's our advocate, Father, but we also know that we have something here on this earth that we can cling to. We know that it is our connection to Thee, and it is the Word of God. I pray You'd help us keep these things in mind. Help us know that true as it is that we may be called to go through some very dark waters sometime, maybe personally, maybe even nationally, I'm not sure, that the Word of God is still true. And that is what got the good figs back into the land. I pray, Father, You'd help the lesson to be driven home. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute. And for the last week or so, you have been preached at and appealed to and have made decisions, have responded to the Holy Ghost. I'm grateful for that. The first couple of services after a revival is always hard because I feel like most everything's been said and I hate to tread on what's already been done. But with a Supreme Court, a bunch of judges standing up and saying, this is right and this is good, and the Bible saying, this is wrong and this is an abomination, I'm afraid that we have now reached the clashing point. Fact of the matter is, you don't get to choose your battles sometimes. You don't get to choose the judgments that come. You don't get to choose the when, where's, or how's. But you do get to choose whether you will be a good fig or a bad one. And I hope I've shown this morning that it really all relates toward your relationship with the Word of God. Do you love it? Do you obey it? If the answer is yes, I'll ask you this. Do you read it every day? Do you? Don't pretend you love it and obey it if you don't read it. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We look forward to a fine day today and look forward to the fellowship that we get to enjoy. I pray that You'd give us just a couple of somber, serious moments here before we, by the grace of God, go get to have some fun. I pray You'd give us a sober reflection. Help us know what our lifeline is. Help us to ever remember that our link to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ really is the Word of God. We pray You'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 286. 286.